Welcome to Crosstalk with Novell, discussions on the future of research and navigating the current restraints imparted by social distancing in your research, patient, and student interactions. I'm Anna Zek with Novell. Recently, I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with Kelly Jeans. Kelly is the Assistant Director of the Movement Science Lab Dallas at Texas Scottish Rite Hospital for Children. The lab is really a state-of-the-art facility that helps provide in-depth analysis of how patients move and function. A significant component of that work is research, so the team conducts various studies to evaluate the success of a treatment plan by analyzing patients' movement and function before and after their care. Kelly had a lot to say, a lot of real-world examples of how coronavirus has impacted her work and her patients. So it's a really thought-provoking discussion. Kelly's also really fun to talk with, so I hope you enjoy this conversation.
So to start, why don't you break down a little bit, what have the past few months been like for you? What have you been up to?
It has been interesting, I'll tell you that. I think much of us are in the same boat of, you know, if we do research or see patients, you know, that kind of all came to a stop for us for a good solid 3 months. So we kind of started to get back into the groove a little bit. I was doing a lot of manuscript writing and editing my colleagues' papers, kind of in the downtime. It was a wonderful moment to be able to take a break, and finish some things, which was nice. But I will say that coming back into a hospital setting in the midst of, you know, I'm here in Texas, so of course we do nothing small in Texas. Everything is bigger and better, so COVID had to be the same way, I think. So it's been a bit of a challenge. Every week is, you know, something new and some new obstacle to kind of navigate. We are back to seeing patients, so, you know, that's fantastic. That's a big part of what we do, obviously, and research patients are limited, but we are able to see some as long as they're, you know, kind of already being coming for doctor's appointments and stuff, so.
Right. When it comes to those sort of longer term studies, what is your thought process? But obviously, they're on hold, but what has your thought process been of how you proceed with those?
It's going to be interesting. Right now, you know, they keep pushing things. We were supposed to be back to being able to see research patients as of September 8th. You know, I don't know if that's actually going to happen. We take 1 week at a time.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful that it will. If not, you know, I think there's something to be said for going back to research protocols and seeing how you can make it work. You know, we do give out a fair number of PROs. We use patient-reported questionnaires. And, you know, maybe in this moment, that's where it has to be if that we can't actually have face-to-face visits with them. So navigating is going to be interesting. I know that, you know, when we first started work from home. We had a number of projects that were supposed to be starting with mass recruitment. And, you know, we were able to pivot it and do some national surveys instead to kind of look at the effect of and the impact of COVID on our kids. And, you know, it's something, it's not exactly what was in our path, but, you know, sometimes you just have to kind of look at the situation and how you can best address it and maybe help the public. And health is just, you know, is a big deal to us at the hospital. So, you know, helping these kids through this difficult time, especially in the face of some kids not being able to, you know, go back to school, and what are they going to do? And that's, we're really concerned about that as a public health kind of initiative. So that's what we've done. We've tried to pivot. The longer term studies, though, you know, luckily for me, you know, I'm at the stage, at least in the Clubfoot study, I do most of my work with Novell with the Clubfoot study. And luckily, they're kind of at the end stage of their last visit. So, you know, if it doesn't happen this year, we'll see them next year. We'll see them the next year. So luckily we have that kind of built into the protocol and it's not time sensitive. So I'm very fortunate to kind of have that going for it right now, so we don't have to pivot it too badly.
Got it. And when it comes with working with patients in person, obviously there are so many different guidelines that you have to follow now and totally different processes. So how have you brought those in and adapted to still follow those requirements, but still achieve your research goals?
So I would say that, you know, it's all about turning over and cleaning everything and using PPE, and working with children can be a bit of a challenge just because, you know, it's hard to make a connection with your patients when they can't see you, right? Like all they see is your eyes and you can't smile and tell them you're joking. And, you know, it's been interesting. We have not really changed protocols for the patients that have come in. We do gait analysis, so we place markers, and that is like there's no proximity. So we have started to do masks and face shields and goggles, and you know, we man, I wash my hands all the time. I think they're gonna crack at some point.
I was just gonna ask.
So we really try to be diligent, and you know, on the in the for the kids that have a hard time and want to take their mask off, you know, I've been very straightforward and say, listen, the agreement is you wear your mask, I wear my mask, I wear my goggles so that you can be here so I can do your study so that we can help your daughter, you know, your doctor make good decisions for you. So far so good. Most of them understand. Parents are pretty much right on it. I mean, they are all about keeping the masks on the kids. They want to keep them safe too. And the hospital has been very diligent about screening and temperature taking and making sure if there's any question of exposure that staff are continue to work from home. So far, knock on wood, you know, we've kind of made it happen. You know, I will give you an example. One study that we have actually uses the pita barograph, and it's a wonderful tool that that we're using for our patients with foot pathology. Mm-hmm. And what's nice about it is there's no proximity problem. We really can social distance collecting that piece of information. Whereas if we're placing markers for gait analysis, like we have to be right up next to them and close to them, and there's mm-hmm. no 6 foot distance. So I know that our foot registry that is going on right now, those they are really limiting the number of kids that are doing full gait analysis versus those that were just collecting plantar pressures on kind of in a longitudinal kind of recall visit. They come in to see the doctor and they come down and they have their plantar pressures done. So that has been nice, honestly, because I could tell you that our oxygen consumption is out right now. We're not doing any O2 testing, so that's on hold. We're doing gait, but you know, it's challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. I can only imagine. You know, when you're talking about different technology developers that you work with, like Novell or others, how can they help you and your colleagues in this sort of an environment?
So one of the things that I really was looking forward to was going to ESM this year. You know, we were on a travel hold forever going yay. International, and this was the first year we had it approved, and I was like, yay, and then COVID, and I was like, oh. And I do appreciate the fact that y'all recognize that research is a really important component to discussion on how to use it, because there's so many different approaches. We all use it a little bit differently, and I get a lot out of that conference, and I will say that I have now attended some virtual conferences. And honestly, I went in with very low expectations because who knew how that was going to go, but I moderated one and it was fine. You know, it was great. It didn't have quite the same back and forth feel, but people were still able to interact and there was good discussion and you could side panel the questions. So for instance, if somebody asked me something that I need to go and sidebar with them, I knew who they were and could go and do that. So I don't know if that might be something that Novell considers as possibly doing that and mm-hmm. letting us talk about our research together. Because who knows how long this is going to go on. I mean, truly, right. I don't know. Like,
right.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It should just be something to consider. But I do think that you're one of the Novell is one of the few companies that actually hosts a conference that says, listen, let's get, you know, our researchers together so they can talk. And I really appreciate that. I think it's a great opportunity.
Besides your colleagues' work, has there anything else that you've been reading or listening to or watching that's just kind of hit home with you?
So I think I had alluded to a pivot on one of our projects.
Yeah.
So we sent out a survey looking at activity and how people were going to manage it, how their children were going to manage it, or if they're just going to be in front of the iPad the whole time. Mm-hmm. And so there is actually a study that came out of the Canadian group with some preliminary data, the kind of their initial look at it. And I think that it's inspiring because I think that there's so much opportunity to educate educators, because I think that just watching what happened with my own kids, you know, their PE, I mean, they did the best they could really, but you know, if this is going to be a long-term thing, you know, my kids are missing out on recess. They mm-hmm. miss out on dedicated PE time where they have some sort of lesson plan. Like we tell them to go outside and ride their bike and then they get hot and they come back and that's been 20 minutes. You know, like how are they going to meet, you know, moderate to vigorous exercise? How are they going to meet, you know, recommendation for 60 right. minutes? Like, I don't think that could happen unless we make a concerted effort. And I think that I work in an industry that really values it. And I think that, you know, I have a lot of friends and, you know, people in our community that they're just trying to get through the day. And I appreciate that too. But if this is going to be long-term, I feel like, you know, we need to help in some way. And however we can do that by giving them the statistics and saying, listen, we need to really ramp this up and this needs to become a priority or else we're going to suffer as a society, because it's trickle down effect. If your kids don't exercise and you don't exercise, I mean, everybody's sedentary and that's not healthy. So that's really inspiring. The Oxford group just came out with a new paper that I was totally stoked to actually pick up this week. We have very similar interests with Clubfoot, for instance, and they have a really very extensive study that they just came out with that was really interesting to read. We do things a little bit differently, so we always like to look and see, you know, what are they doing? I like that, and how can we incorporate that, you know? So, you know, just new project ideas and different ways to look at data so that we're all speaking the same language and kind of coming to similar conclusions and not, you know, all over the place. So, you know, I like to look at what other people are doing. So I will say that also, I was, spent a lot of time with my cookbooks while we were home, and I feel like I've got a pretty good grasp on baking bread now. Nice. So that was very inspiring and fulfilling and, you know, sense of accomplishment. So sometimes you just need to do a little something for yourself. And that, I mean, one cannot track statistics. That's not mm-hmm. inspiring at all. So I chose the cookie.
That's awesome. I was going to ask if there were any things that you picked up sort of during quarantine, some bread baking. Have you tried the whole sourdough starter?
That's what I was. I was a
starter
person. I have got it down now. I'm telling
nice.
You.
Nice.
Yeah. So fun. It's fun. And if you don't mind failing and throwing out, you know, I mean, and it's hard to fail, especially with flour that you can pick up. But, you know, you don't need yeast, right? Like mm-hmm. you start your own yeast. You just use natural yeast. So yeah. So that was kind of fun. And, you know, we had a lot of home improvements. We gave our kids a 411 on how to change out fixtures and
nice.
Knobs and doorknobs and, you know, it It started off really strong. Now everybody just wants to talk to somebody else. So,
right. You know,
there's just only so much you can do. Yeah. I think we can all appreciate that, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time, Kelly, for your insight. It's so interesting to hear how you and your team have adapted. And I hope, you know, things continue to improve for you all, for all of us. And best of luck. Stay safe.